The young man who entered the Senate in 1962 as one of its least impressive members, a 30-year-old fledgling whose main recommendation for public office was that he was the president's brother, had in the 14 years since risen to a level that none of his detractors or even most of his admirers could have foreseen. Ted Kennedy had become a member of the club, that Senate inner sanctum of mostly senior senators, all of them committee chairmen, where true power was wielded. His brothers John and Bobby had hated the Senate. For them, it was a slow, grinding institution, an institution in which members had to wait their turn to achieve power or prominence. Seniority was the congressional coin of the realm, an institution expressly designed by the nation's constitutional framers to slow or even halt progress rather than speed it. And if the Senate had been designed, in the likely apocryphal words of George Washington, to cool the more heated effusions of the House as a saucer cools hot tea, the Senate itself found ways to prolong that cooling, passing a rule that required a vote of 2/3 of its members to cut off debate, which effectively meant that it took only 1/3 of the membership to stop a bill from coming to a vote. It was in the Senate, that reluctant institution, where Southern Democrats used the filibuster to defeat civil rights legislation again and again, and to keep America's black citizens in subservience until Lyndon Johnson and a liberal Democratic caucus, abetted by moderate Republicans, finally got cloture and pried a Civil Rights Act loose. The two older Kennedy brothers preferred executive power, power that could get things done, even as John Kennedy, as president, quickly realized that the Senate could thwart executive power, too. Ted Kennedy, however, had come to the Senate with a different agenda, a different attitude. He was no less desirous than his brothers of getting things done, no less desirous of making a difference. But when he got to the Senate, Ted Kennedy had patience. "It fills you with a heightened sense of purpose," he had said of the Senate. And as he got his bearings there, as he learned the legislative ropes, ropes that he became especially good at manipulating, he was determined to make the institution work for him. But there was one other reason that Ted Kennedy became a Senate man. Unlike his brothers, who made no bones about using the Senate as a stepping stone to the presidency, he had no choice. When Richard Nixon came to power in 1968, Ted Kennedy was in fighting trim, challenging him, parrying him, upholding liberal principles both for his own sake and for Bobby's, since but for an assassin's bullet, Bobby, not Nixon, might have been in that Oval Office making policy, creating a shadow presidency, like a parliamentary opposition waiting to assume power when Nixon faltered, conducting at times his own foreign policy, even though that violated political norms, speaking out forcefully against the administration, so forcefully that Republicans took umbrage and felt he overstepped the bounds of civility, which might have been true, and biding his time for his chance to enter the Oval Office himself, even if he was unsure whether he really wanted to occupy that office, though if he did, it would be not to restore Camelot, which he knew was a futile dream, a lost dream, but to rededicate the federal government to what he felt were principles of decency and compassion, the principles for which his brothers had stood. But in 1976, Ted Kennedy surrendered his chance to become president. Though he had ruminated on the possibility after Senator George McGovern's historic landslide loss to Nixon in 1972, commissioning polls as early as 1973, and though he would boast to young staffer Richard Burke about the results of those polls and ask Burke what he was hearing on his campus, Burke was still a student, and though there were discussions of a possible candidacy, the deliberations had ended in September 1974 when Ted announced that he would not be running. At the time, he cited family considerations. His son, Ted Jr., had recently had his leg amputated to prevent the spread of bone cancer, and the shadow of the deaths of John and Robert, both assassinated, always hung over the family and any possible candidacy. When Ted discussed a run with his sister Jean and her husband Steve Smith in the presence of Ted's mother Rose and of Kennedy family friend and historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr., Schlesinger said that Rose immediately shrank, and Jean was somber and silent. Schlesinger noted that the family seemed deeply and genuinely opposed to Ted's running, but that Ted's brother-in-law seems to think that Ted would be best for the country and that his candidacy may become inevitable and is fatalistic about the risks.